Thank you, Stuart. Let me get my little notes out here. So we are continuing the series on stewardship, and I am delighted to be here to share with you some things that I have learned while studying these scripture passages. I also have a doctorate in worship studies, so I am particularly, my special interest, I guess you could say, is liturgy, and I think it's really neat to see how we are formed by what we do on Sunday mornings, how the Spirit informs our practice. And so with that in mind today, I want to share some insights, I guess. In ancient times, names were important, right? They gave an individual identity, purpose, and meaning. Scripture shows us that people and places were named or renamed to reflect how God showed up in their lives. So, for example, some places, you know, Hagar in the scriptures, she got banished from Abraham and Sarah. She, in her despair, as she is running away, she names God. She's the first person in scripture to name God, an exile almost. And she calls him the God who sees, El Roy. So that's how her reflection of God, that's how she named something. Jacob, when he was wrestling with God about something difficult and hard, he named the place where he wrestled Bethel. Do you know what the name Bethel means? Anybody? House of God means house of God. So he named a place to reflect that the presence of God was there with them. God sometimes gives new names to people. So Abraham wasn't always Abraham. Abraham means, it has Jewish roots of a protector. So he protects, the father protects. But his name before that was Abram, meaning father, their father. And then Saul becomes Paul. His name change is kind of funny because Paul kind of means small one, like he was a short dude. So I think that one's kind of funny. And Simon, probably the one we know most, Simon becomes Peter, the rock, right? It's signifying his importance as the foundational rock of what the church was going to be built upon. So just as God meets Hagar, Jacob, Abram, Saul, and Simon in ways that redefine who they are, God calls each of us to live out that identity in ways that bless others and reflect God's identity and generosity. So I wonder, do you know the meaning of your own name? Yes, okay, good. My name is Jessica. It means wealthy, which I am not. However, I will say I do like to do a lot of different creative things. So I will apply that meaning to that. That kind of expresses what type of person I am. It shapes my identity. My maiden name is Dodik, and it is Polish. And it reflects a German-Polish historical identity that I also have. Germans are kind of stubborn and hot-headed, and yes, I have that too. and if you met my dad and my grandfather, you would say yes. But that reflects me, my family, and my heritage and identity. So with that, I wonder, why don't you ask your neighbor, turn to your neighbor right now, and ask them what the meaning of their name is.
Thank you.
Did you learn something about your neighbor? Yes, I hope so. I hope so. This is the power of identity in action. It shapes how we see ourselves and how we show up in this world. And of course, here's our connection to our theme for the day. Just as God names people and places, God gives each of us a sacred identity as beloved children made in God's image. Because of that, God invites us to live generously, reflecting God's character in everything that we do. So here's our focus statement for the day. When we understand our identity as God's beloved people, created in God's image and called to love, we gain the freedom to live with honesty and integrity. In that freedom, loving God and neighbor becomes the natural expression of who we are. So as we continue this stewardship series, it's important. Stewardship begins with identity. When our lives are rooted in God's image, generosity flows naturally. It shapes how we use our time, our resources, our gifts, and our love. Proportional giving isn't about obligation. It's about living in harmony with the generosity God's already placed within us. So if you're a note taker, I like to do big ideas and principles so that you have like a little takeaway for the week. So here is your simple biblical truth for the day. God's image bearers live generously. Can you repeat that with me? God's image bearers live generously. So let's explore what Scripture says about our identity. Thanks again to Stuart for reading our key passages this morning. To review, Genesis 1, 26 through 27 tells us that we are made in the image and likeness of God. And I'm going to be nerdy here and tell you these about a little bit more in depth about these Hebrew words. Image, tselem, T-S-E-L-E-M. Can you say tselem? Tselem, yeah, like pizza, tselem. Good job. That would be image, and demuth, yes, you're ahead of me. Demuth means likeness. So tselem, image, means a replica, a shadow, the exact shape of the original. I've seen Peter Pan. Have you seen Peter Pan? You know the story where Peter Pan loses his shadow, right? And Wendy captures it. It's such a crazy idea. But our shadow is inseparable from us. It is the exact replica of us. So that's what being made in God's image is like. We reflect God in our form and our presence. Now, demuth, likeness, is a functional resemblance, like Adam and Eve passing on their likeness to their children. And like Jesus, likeness of God. Because of Jesus, our faith places us in the biblical family of Abraham. We are heirs of God's generosity and love. I think that's amazing. So on this Christ the King Sunday, let's think about Christ as our King and think of living as an image bearer with royal etiquette. If you were born into nobility, there comes certain expectations. Grace, poise, kindness, and generosity aren't optional characteristics. They are a part of who you are, an expression of how you show up in this world. I'm a Disney adult, so I'm going to give you some Disney princess examples. If just humor me, I guess. Aurora, she loves animals, and she brings gentle composure and thoughtful words and creature care to this idea of grace and poise and kindness. Cinderella shows dignity and kindness even throughout hard circumstances. Belle, my favorite, reminds us to see the good in others, pursue deeper learning, and Tiana, she She teaches generosity through her diligent service to her community. She wants to serve her community. And Snow White and Rapunzel are just warm and joy and bring that wherever they go. Moana and Elsa, they show courage and care as they serve their people. These princesses show us that being royal isn't about a crown or power. It's about living with integrity, caring for others, and giving generously from the heart. So here is your first principle. In the same way as God's image bearers, generosity becomes our way of life. In the same way as God's image bearers, generosity becomes our way of life. In Matthew 22, the second scripture that was read this morning, this idea is deepened. Jesus tells the Pharisees to give to Caesar what is Caesar and to God what is God's. I love how tactile Jesus is in this moment. He even takes out a coin. I mean, this seems like a great example for children's church, right? Bring out that coin, show it. What is on there? What is the picture on there? The image and the likeness. Well, Caesar. Okay, this is Caesar's economy. So give to Caesar what Caesar has arranged. And then who are we? We're in the image and likeness of God. So humans bear God's image just as coins bear Caesar's. Now here's your nerdy moment again. The Greek word there is icon, E-I-K-O-N. Does that sound like another English word that you may know, right? Icons or idols are also come from this. So when we think of, we are little walking idols of God. One of my professors in seminary told me about this. She used this example. We're little walking icons of God, called to reflect God's character. Romans 12, 1 and 2 reminds us to offer ourselves fully as worship. This is why God opposed to the making of idols, because they replace the true image of God, you and me. Idols tried to capture in stone what God had already placed in human beings. And giving this by creating idols, it gave this position away to something else. 1 Corinthians 15, 49 tells us that we are being transformed into the image of our heavenly human, Jesus. Romans 8, 29 says, "For those God foreknew, God also predestined to be conformed to the image, icon, of God's Son, that Jesus might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." 1 Corinthians 3:18, sorry. "And we all who, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into God's image, icon, with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Living generously flows naturally from this identity. Our free will, our ability to love, create, nurture, and care for others all reflect God's likeness. All right, here's principle two. Stewardship, you know this already. Stewardship isn't just giving money. It's giving our lives, time, and gifts in alignment with God's work and vision for the world. It's giving our lives, our time, and gifts in alignment with God's work and vision for this world. So let's apply this a little bit more. So first, it starts with you. So how can you give God what belongs to God? Your time, your talents, your energy, and your heart. Living generously is a natural expression of God's image in us. It shouldn't be burdensome. It's the overflowing response of those who know they are deeply loved and called to love in return. Your specialness, and I mean specialness is specialness, is and identity as God's image bearer includes your creativity, your free will, and your ability to love, to nurture, to even rest, to steward your gifts, and exhibit the fruits of the Spirit. These are the family traits that you share with your Creator and your older brother, Jesus. How might your generosity from that identity be exhibited this week? And it continues with, so first begins with you, and then it continues with us as a church. What would it look like to love our neighbors as ourselves? You already do so much. It is amazing. Every church I go to in the United Methodist realm is so concerned about our community, and I love to see how you show up for our community. It's so heartwarming. I love it. And again, living generously is obviously you've applied it to be the natural expression of God's image in you. It's not self-centered, not burdensome. It's the overflowing response. So names, identity, scripture, and our illustrations all point to the same truth. Do you remember that truth? Our big idea for the day? We are God's image bearers, and our calling is to live with integrity, care, and generosity. Our big idea was God's image bearers live generously. So just as Disney princesses model royal etiquette, we model divine generosity, graceful, kind, and wholehearted in every aspect of our lives. Therefore, as image bearers, integrate other ways to infuse this purpose and meaning in living out the character of God in this world. There are endless possibilities because God's image bearers live generously.